what Baltic does is try to divide people, no? And then art tries to put people together, combine people. I mean, just that people is here, there, and we share a common aspect, that it's humanity.
My name is Mark Del Mastro, and I'm the chair of Hispanic Studies at the College of Charleston. And we are here with today's guest, Dr. Raul Carrillo Arciniega, who is an associate professor of Hispanic Studies. And he's also the current founding editor of our department's international referee journal, Hispanic Studies Review. He's an accomplished novelist, poet, and literary critic, and many would argue that he's perhaps the most versatile and prolific writer in the School of Languages, Cultures, and World Affairs at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Mexico City, but my family is from Baja California, so I was kind of in between territories, you know, in the Baja California Peninsula and Mexico City. So even I lived in Oaxaca, which is a south state in Mexico with an indigenous population, very dense indigenous population. And that experiences are pretty well documented in a certain way in one of my novels, actually in two of my novels. No, the first one is when a small town, it's in the middle of the Baja California Peninsula, which actually was a mining town, and not at that moment, but previously in the 1950s or so. And it's kind of a unique type of town because it's in the middle of the Baja California desert. So I lived there for 3 years. That's one of the, for example, the first novel, La Tierra de Ob, in the Land of Ob, is one of the main points is trying to describe how was practically that kind of a moving, no? Because I was living in Mexico City and suddenly I had just arrived to that town. So, and then I had a lot of experiences there that I can trying to put in the novel. And especially that first one, the first novel, it's dealing a little bit with those experiences and the life here in U.S., you know, because I'm trying to combine a little bit the creative essays with certain type of narrative, you know, and that's the first book about. And then actually that first book, in The Land of Bob, I started writing that novel in Tennessee when I went there and I didn't have anything to do, right? So I was kind of trying to experience, remember everything. So I decided just to write that. So I mean, I'm trying to sometimes in my novels try to just put something that it's a deal with literary criticism and poetry, basically. Yeah, which is kind of the first thing that I've been doing in my life. No, I started like a writer as a poet, basically, but. I mean, it's kind of a rough life being a poet, you know.
Yeah. You made reference to what we could identify as a bicultural experience, so to speak, being from Mexico and then coming here to the United States for your higher education. You studied at the renowned UNAM, the Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México, where you wrote your thesis on the poetry of the Mexican national José Carlos Becerra, and then you came to the U.S. for your doctoral studies at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, with an emphasis on Latin American and Francophone literature. Yes. How did these different educational experiences shape your view and approach as a writer?
As a writer, I mean, I think the most valuable experience that I had in the Mexico City, and when I'm writing the thesis or about José Carlos Becerra, and then moving here, because I was kind of more concentrated on poetry, you know, when I was kind of young, you know, I'm still young, but not that young. When I was studying poetry, and I came here just to study poetry as well, you know, so that experience and how people value poetry is kind of different from the things that I have experienced in Mexico City, you know. For example, I kind of tried to live the life of partying, those kind of things, because I'm trying to just get more experiences in order to just write something different, you know, because I was kind of thinking that the more experience I had, the better it's going to be my writing, you know? So, and then when I moved here, I kind of settled down a little bit more, you know, and I tried to just concentrate a little bit more in the thought process of writing poetry rather than experiencing poetry. So I was kind of more trying to see what is going on behind the thoughts of the poetry, you know, and how the ideas are coming. So I learned more to think about poetry rather than to write poetry. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's one of the biggest accomplishments that I had here. Because in here, I wrote the dissertation about two other poets that are pretty well-renowned Mexican poets, and one of it's José Gorostiza. He wrote a pretty long poem that is called Muerte Sin Fin, no? Mm-hmm. I mean, those. And that is one of the most complex, I would say, poems that I have ever read. Mm-hmm. So, and then here I learned how to just address those kind of poems and to challenge myself in order to go deeper into the poetical thinking, no? And that's what I did for the dissertation, basically. So I learned how to concentrate a little bit more in thoughts and the philosophy behind the poem.
So this brings up another interesting question with regard to approach, because you have articulated quite well the poet's approach.
Yes.
But how about the reader's approach and your experience with reception?
Yeah.
And I'm again referring to that bicultural experience. You have, of course, the Mexican readership, and then you have the U.S. readership.
Yes.
What, as a poet, have been the defining differences in that reception to your poetry? And how has that maybe influenced your approach as a poet to your own writing?
I really don't know, honestly. No, I mean, I haven't thought about reception, basically.
Okay.
No, I mean, when we are writing poetry, you're not thinking about the reception of mm-hmm. poetry. You're thinking more like you have to develop this idea, these things that you have in mind and inside of you that it's kind of eating you up. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have to write the poem, no? I mean, so the reception part of the process, I really don't care, you know? Why? Because, I mean, nobody reads poetry, honestly, no? So, and that's a problem sometimes, no? I mean, and now that we have this meme culture, no? So poems are kind of articulated there, no? So if it's something like motivation or something, it needs to be in a meme, no? So, and this is, I mean, for me, poems or poetry are a different kind of experience. So I don't write beautiful things. I tend to explore bad things about the personality of myself, basically, you know, what it's inside. So, and I have discovered that people here or in Mexico, they tend to see poems as a way of beautiful things, you know, how to approach beauty. I mean, and I consider, for example, eating some tacos beautiful, you know? And I have one poem that it deals with that process of eating a taco, no? Yeah, so, but that could be something that probably you are not going to want to consider beautiful, mm-hmm. no? I mean, and I'm not saying that it's this taco is so beautiful that I need to eat it. No, it's what is the process of eating? How are you kind of dealing with those kind of flavors? And what are the vocations that you have while you are eating a taco? And most of the time, if you are just developing pleasure, so, and then I extend a little bit about pleasure, what pleasure is and those kind of things. So I don't know the reception, mm-hmm. basically. And what I'm trying to do always is have a lot of rhythm. Mm-hmm. No? And I think that at least if they are not going to know, understand what is going on, at least the rhythm is going to be beautiful.
As a poet and a writer, you've now been here at the College of Charleston for almost 14 years, and you've written, of course, genres beyond poetry that includes four novels, two books of poetry, and numerous books and essays on literary criticism. Given that experience as a poet, do you enjoy the other genres more, or is that a different relationship that you have?
It's completely different relationship. No, I mean, I only write poems when I need to, No, it's not that I always need to rhyme poems or to write poems. It's more like something that I need to escape from, decompression valve or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I have there. No, I mean, I'm, for example, I could be sitting in my studio or in my office there, just in something suddenly arrives in my mind, and I have that tendency to say I need to write something, no? Mm-hmm. And when I'm writing criticism, it's completely different because it's something that it's very thoughtful. You know what I'm gonna do. You know what you're looking for. So it's more like the discipline thing, no? It's what I do, mm-hmm. no? I mean, from 10 to 3, what I do is try to think about the things that I want to say in the either a poem, either a novel, either right now that I'm kind of exploring also politics, no, the essays on politics. So that's what I'm doing. I know what I'm going to. Mm-hmm. But when I'm writing poetry, and I don't know what I'm going to. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a separate entity. It's a different pace, mm-hmm. basically. Yes.
What many of our listeners might not know is that your 2017 novel, Tennessee River, was the winner of a state literary contest of Baja California back in 2015. Tell us a little bit about that award-winning novel,
yes.
maybe a plot overview, what motivated you to write it, what do you consider its central theme, etc.
Yes, I mean, that novel I started writing as well. When I was in Tennessee, no? I mean, because I mean, from coming from Mexico City, because I was coming from Mexico City directly, and the interactions that I had with American culture there, because it was mostly Californian culture and thing like that. So I came to hear the South part of U.S., which is, I didn't know, no, what to expect at that moment. So it was kind of a shocking culturally, no? I mean, why? Because suddenly you had some straight or strong sense of religion here, no? The Protestant kind of things, the Bible kind of thing, all those kind of ideas that I wasn't accustomed to and those kind of things. Why? Because, I mean, you know, in Mexico and in all the Hispanic cultures, Catholicism, and I'm kind of well-versed in that, no? But Protestantism for me was kind of a new experience, no? I mean, and racism as well, no? Which is kind of the first thing that I confronted in a bus, no? Not towards me, honestly, but towards another African-American guy, no? So a drunk guy was there just screaming, yelling some things, go back to Senegal or whatever, those kind of things. So it was kind of, I was shocking at the moment, no? Because what is going on here, no? I mean, because you hear racism and those kind of things, but you haven't experienced that, mm-hmm. no? But here I started experiencing how it feels, no? To be exposed to that kind of thing. So, and then all those kind of little things led me just to start writing something, no? First, to document something, because I was kind of thinking, probably I'm going to go back to Mexico, and so I need to document this. And then I started just developing everything that I kind of explored there with humor, no? I mean, the first part of Tennessee River is kind of it's humor. It's just the confrontation of this character that comes from Mexico, kind of doing those kind of approaches, but because my literature I have this tendency to incorporate real life, no, real characters. I mean, kind of doing this twisting around about the names, characters, characteristics, and everything like that. But it tends to just based on reality, no. And I want to explore that and also explore this culture that was kind of new to me. No, the political correctness wasn't that much at that moment, but it was. I mean, because it's in the culture, so you cannot say things that you don't have to say, no. But at that moment, so I just felt the need to do that, no. And it's and this is this novel deals with that, no, with this encounter to different cultures, no, because you kind of know the American culture through films, through music, but you haven't experienced that firsthand, no? I mean, especially from in the South, no? And then what is considered the South, because California is a pretty more liberal, those kind of things. And you have that tendency just to go there, no? Because in Baja California, so you just can just drive 12 hours and then you can suddenly arrive to, to California, no? So it's the exchange that we have mm-hmm. in California is pretty, it's pretty rich, I would say, for that matter, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and the process of being awarded a novel, I mean, it's just, I just submitted the manuscript, no? Because it was kind of an opening. I said, okay, let's do this, no, why not? And then suddenly I just won.
Has that novel shaped your current research pursuits? I know that you've been working lately on the problems of national and regional identities in Mexico yes. and the border with the U.S., and then you mentioned also politics
yes.
as well. And that's one part of the question. The second part is, what have you discovered through this recent research, and where is it leading you with regard to your next
Right. Yes, I mean, one the question here arises, what I had for that encounter was identity, no? Mm-hmm. Of course, no? Because I was kind of a feeling part of something, but suddenly I wasn't part of something, and I haven't experienced racism at any level, but mm-hmm. suddenly here, just because I speak Spanish, then I'm kind of a weird kind of guy, no? I mean, so, and then that experience started to think, or I started thinking about, I mean, what am I, no? I mean, it's one of the things that we do, because I always say that being a Mexican is a problem, no? I mean, being a Mexican is a problem everywhere. I mean, you go to U.S. and you have problems because you are a Mexican. You go to Spain, you have a problem because you are a Mexican. You go to Latin America, you have a problem because you are a Mexican. So that's kind of a problematic kind of identity, just to realize it and just to deal with. No, so I started to think about, what is Mexico? No, how Mexico is being portrayed in literature and symbolic figures and those kind of things. That's why I started writing the one of the criticism books about identity, and then another one with other regional identity, because I was kind of covering the country, but still we have something that is called regional identity. No, it's like the South. I mean, the South has mm-hmm. its regional identity, and then that's what I did. No, and politics, I think it's very important, because politics, what politics does is try to divide people. No, and then art tries to put people together, combine people. I mean, just that people is here, there, and we share a common aspect, that it's humanity, you know? But politics is completely the opposite. Politics try to segregate people, try to just build walls and borders and those kind of things. So for me, again, the politics, it's something that is there, you know? And how are we going to confront those even stereotypes and those kind of things, no? And how, and what is going to be the role of Mexico? Because, I mean, Mexico and the U.S., the relationship is there, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of a symbiotic kind of type of a structure, no? So, and I feel, and I don't know if it's the political environment or something like that, but Mexico is being neglected at a certain point. I think the politics right now are not considering Mexico as a good partner, no? It's like a bad partner. It's the uncomfortable neighbor, no? And then, so I think that, again, trying to just look into the politics of what is going on there, no? It's important, no? And what I'm doing is trying to, for example, take Octavio Paz, who was the Nobel laureate from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a lot of politics, no? And then what I'm trying to do is try to see what are his ideas about politics, and how these ideas are kind of related to now, what we are doing, no? And how his vision have shaped the way we just perceive Mexico as well, no? And if it's time to renew or rewrite those kind of perceptions, it's what I'm doing right now, basically, in the book that I'm planning to just write or writing right now, yes.
And given all of your contributions with regard to poetry and the novel, And you have taught creative writing courses
yes.
in our curriculum in the yeah. past. Have you thought about, and I know this is a, sounds like a bit of a an ego-centered question, so to speak, but it's a justified question given your contributions. Have you ever thought about teaching a course that actually integrated your own novels and poetry so that students had the opportunity of
yes.
of reading them as part of the course?
Actually, I'm teaching a graduate course right now, no? And we are just reading the, it's on identity, no? So we are reading the two books about the identity that I wrote and part of the novel that I wrote. So, and that, I mean, I don't know if it's egotistical or something like that, but I thought that it's kind of a pertinent, no? I mean, it's, I didn't do it just because it's mine and you have to read what I wrote. No, it's because it's a problem and I want to just introduce that. And since the novel also deals with that type of aspects, that I'm incorporating that aspect. I mean, with poems, sometimes in certain classes, I have just introduced a couple of them, just to see what mm-hmm. what they think about the poems and those kind of things. But yes, and for creative writing, I mean, I as you mentioned, I have taught that three times, and it was kind of a pretty good experience, mm-hmm. no? And I'm sometimes the students when they know that I'm a writer, they want to read something, no, to see what's going on with this guy, no, or something like that. So yes,
because you do have a contemporary who is also a novelist and
yes.
a poet who
yeah.
is right across town at the Citadel,
mm-hmm.
Eloy Roth.
Yes.
And so that kind of prompts the next question, looking at contemporary writers, many of whom, particularly in Mexico, with whom you have relationships
yes.
with, perhaps have you thought about a course that included your and their works?
That could be a nice course to teach.
As part of, and that would include also, you know, possible guest lecture.
I would be thrilled to that opportunity to just teach one course of that nature. No, I mean, yes, as you mentioned, Eloy Roth, he's from Mexico as well. And so it's kind of a weird because we are just here, two Mexican writers here in Charleston. No? So mm-hmm. and how we ended up here, I don't know. No? But life is like that. No, mm-hmm. But yes, no, that would be a nice course to teach so mm-hmm. we can just bring people and always it's fun for the students just to hear mm-hmm. the creative process, no? Because you just have the novel, the poem, but you're thinking about what happened, no? How what was the things that prompted you to write that mm-hmm. poem, no? And, or that novel or that specific passage. Yes.
ISPACAST is produced by Dr. Michael Overhold of the Teaching and Learning Team and directed by Dr. Mark Del Mastro, Professor and Chair of the Hispanic Studies Program here at the College of Charleston.